Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's a WIP afternoon show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Man, the Dable thing yesterday, and then who was it from Aston? Jeff from Aston. It's been it. Am I going to make it through Friday?
Well, we got to get you to April, too, just like Joel.
Yes. Elliot Shore Parks is here. Tuesdays with Elliot. Every Tuesday at 3, he joins us for an hour. It's brought to you by Groundworks. Don't let a weak foundation sack your home's value. Schedule a free inspection at groundworks.com. Before we get to the Eagles, any thoughts on Joel not playing?
Well,
Paul George, we all knew wasn't going to play, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've been enjoying Clap Your Hands Radio. It sounds good. I enjoyed the Sixers talk, so it was good. I agree. The messaging on this is really bad. And in some ways, it is why everybody is so mad. If they announced this a month ago, I think there would have been backlash, but it wouldn't have been as intense as this. But where maybe I disagree from you, Spike, it seems, and maybe the general public is, I think we're getting wrapped up too much in the messaging. That is a mistake, but it's not the story. The story is Joel is not healthy enough to play in the opener, point blank. And they gave this guy a 3-year, $190 million extension this offseason. And in 2 years, what's it going to be like if this is what it's like now? So it's disappointing he's not playing, but for me, I just think he's closer to cooked than people want to admit.
Cooked?
You're on drugs.
Cooked?
He can't play in the opener.
This is going to be awesome.
He didn't look great last year. Like,
he didn't look great last year. He scored more points than he played minutes last year. And if he had played the commensurate number of games, he would have been MVP last year, too.
But they lost in the first round again. And I know you'll say it's not his fault, but didn't get out of the first round. He clearly looked physically diminished, in my opinion. You're right. He was good last year. I shouldn't have said that. But he looked physically worse than he has in the past last year. He's not healthy enough to play in the opener. Didn't look great in the Olympics. What do we think this is going to be like a year from now?
How do I know what it's going to be like?
We know what it's going to be like. It's going to be worse. His body's not going to get better. So the fact
his body could get better. There are plenty.
Come on, man.
No.
You think a year from now he will be in better physical shape than he is now?
There are plenty of NBA players, as they hit 30, understand that their physical being is more important and they have to manage it. There's a guy on this team, Kyle Lowry, didn't lose weight until he was after 30 years old. Look at DeMar DeRozan. There are a lot of players who, when they hit 30, start taking their health seriously.
Kyle Lowry is not a 7'2", 300-pound center.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? So I just think we have to look at this honestly with Joel. Like, he is much, much closer to him being cooked than he is being the same player that can carry them to a title. Like, if they win the title this year, it will be because of Tyrese Maxey. It won't be because of Joel. Maxey will have to carry them through the regular season. And when the playoffs come, it'll have to be Maxey then, too. Joel's my second favorite Sixer. It brings me no joy to say this, but it's just the reality.
Like, it's not the reality.
We always do this thing with Joel where it's like, well, maybe he's actually healthier than we think.
Name one other player who played at the level that Joel Embiid played at last year,
right?
Who people said he's cooked the next year.
I'm saying Joel is closer to being cooked than anybody wants to admit. A year from now, you really think he'll be in better shape?
I'll bet you $10,000 he's not cooked in a year.
I don't want to bet $10,000.
Okay, I don't know what to bet. There's no chance. His game will be fine. He can shoot. He's 7 feet tall.
He can't even play in the opener in the season.
Who cares if he can play in the opener?
I care. He's the best. He's supposed to be the best player on the team. He signed for 5 years, and he can't play in the opener? How is this not a major red flag to you? He is not healthy enough to play in the opener. Otherwise, he would play. Do you agree with that?
No, I agree that if it were a game he needed to play in, he would play tomorrow.
So that's what he is at this point in his career. Like, he's under contract. Yeah, that is what he is. Otherwise, he would play. It's a season opener, the home opener, a primetime game against a team that you're supposed to be competing for a title for. And they still can't put him in. That is how far away he is from playing. Otherwise, he would play.
No, but wait a minute, Elliot. how far away he is from playing. He's going to play when he can. There's always a last game that you don't play before you play. We don't know how far away he is. He could play next week.
The season was 5 months ago. The Olympics was a month ago, and he still can't play.
Yes.
So you think they're just holding him out?
No.
Then he's hurt. That's the point I'm making.
No, you're wrong on almost all of these things. It's
amazing. Curious to hear how.
Well, because what they want to do is make sure that he is, and this is an error they've made every year. They bring him back from injury too soon. They play him in too many back-to-backs, all of those things, and it puts him in a worse position. What they are saying this year is we are not playing him until he is in the best possible
condition. And if this was a Tuesday night game against Charlotte, I would agree with you. But it's the season opener.
And it counts the exact same as every other game.
No, it doesn't count the same. We all know. Look at, you think that this would be the outrage if it was a Tuesday?
How about this?
You think they wanted the PR hit?
Who did they open against last year?
The Celtics.
And what happened?
They lost.
Okay. And what difference did it make in the rest of the
year? Right, but you're the one that's brought up messaging a bunch. We're not talking about the implications for the season or the win-loss
record.
That's
what I'm talking about.
No, but what I'm saying
messaging was
the fact that they knew it was going to be a major PR hit and they're still not playing him speaks to how unhealthy he is right now. And frankly, how I think
you have no information on how healthy or unhealthy.
Then why isn't he playing?
Because they don't feel like he's ready to play.
Because he is hurt.
Hold on. Okay, hold on. So that let me ask you this, Spike. You don't think he's injured at all. You just think this is a ramp up.
I think they're just not playing him for fun.
No. Listen, Ellie, he's basically saying getting him in shape and getting him basketball conditioning wise is different than being injured.
I understand,
or coming back from an injury.
I understand that, but this isn't a month into the season. It's not 6 weeks into the season. They've had all offseason to get him ready for this. He played in the Olympics, which we all thought was going to be a good thing, and I did at the time too. But if he still can't play in the opener, how is that not a red flag
because
for where his body is at?
Because the goal is not the opener.
The goal is not the playoffs. I agree with
that. The opener does not count more than any other game. It counts the same.
It counts more to fans, number one. It just does.
Especially if you're opening up at home.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Elliot. Should they play him just to make the fans happy?
No, they shouldn't.
Okay, well then what are we talking about?
Because I think people are just looking over the fact that it's not about messaging. It's not about the playoffs. It's about that he can't play. He can't play. If he was fully healthy, he would
choosing.
Be playing.
No, there is an enormous difference. You're using the wrong verbiage, and I don't know if you're doing it on purpose or not.
He does everything on purpose.
Well, no, I'm curious what verbiage is wrong.
Well, you're saying he can't play. That's not true. He plays basketball every day.
So he could play.
Let me ask you this then, Spike. Why wouldn't they start the ramp-up process early enough for him to be ready for opening night?
Because they only get the guy, first of all, he was in there, and they either can get him ready for opening night or they can't. I think their goal is not get him ready by a certain time. Mm-hmm. Their goal is get him ready for when he's ready.
Okay.
And not make a decision. It's just like playing poker. If you make a decision to go all in on a poker hand because you've decided it's time rather than it's the right hand, you're going to lose. And that's why good poker players sit there and they fold 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 until they get the right hand.
Right.
They're waiting until he's as ready as they've determined they need him to be.
All right, if you want to say I'm using the wrong verbiage on he can't play,
yes,
I'll agree with you there. If this was game 7 or game 1 of the playoffs, he'd be playing tonight. I agree with you on that. What I'm saying is it's a concern to me that 5 or 6 months after the season ended and a week after the Olympics, it's still at a point where if they had to play today, he wouldn't be 100%. And so my concern is for a guy that they just gave a 3-year extension to that's supposed to be the reason they win the title, his knees are clearly in bad shape. Like, I don't know how else to put that. He is a big guy that misses games all the time because of his legs. He can't play in the opener because of his legs. And you're right. Maybe it is they're just holding him out. But how often during Embiid's injury time has been, like, the rosy side of things? What happens? It's never what happens.
Right. But how often have they played it this way? Never. Never have they played it this way.
But the old Sixers and the old Embiid
would have played tomorrow.
But you're painting it as if it's like, no, he could play, but let's just be extra cautious.
Yes.
Right.
But I think that's the way you're choosing to view it. That might not be the reality.
He's saying that's not what it believes it is.
Like, I think that he is not healthy enough that he can play in the home opener. You're right that it was a playoff game, or if it was a big game, you're right. He could probably go out there and force his way through it and try to play. But it's concerning to me that in the beginning of the season, we're already dealing with this.
Because the point is not the beginning of the season.
But he's going to play this year, right?
The end.
But he's going to play this year.
Yes.
And he'll probably play in a week. Would you agree with that?
I have no idea.
All right. Well, let's say he plays within the first three weeks.
Hold on. If he's not playing within the first week of the season, then people are going to think he's injured.
Sure.
He may not be,
what really changes, they should not make decisions based on what people think. They've done it too many times.
I agree with you on that. I'm not talking about messaging more. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about his body does not seem like it is in a good place right now, is my read on this.
Of course not.
That's my concern, that you're right. The messaging is bad. It's probably smart to sit him out. But the fact that we're already talking about load management with this guy in the home/season opener, this is not 2 weeks into the season. This isn't a back-to-back. This isn't a meaningless game. It's the start of the year, and he still can't play.
And to be fair, there's nothing wrong with playing in tomorrow's game and then taking off the next two
Correct.
Or three or four games.
If he played tomorrow, but then sat the next three, I'd be cool with that. Like that. But the reality is,
then what difference would it make?
Because he's not ready to play. That's the concern.
I'm just asking. How is sitting out the first three and then playing game four? What difference is that?
Because he hasn't scrimmaged yet.
Okay.
Why hasn't he scrimmaged?
Because they have markers where every time he hits a marker, they progress to the next thing.
I get that.
So
right.
they have, well, obviously you don't
no, no,
get
I do,
it.
Because let me ask you this. If there was a playoff game tonight, they just skip all those markers and play him, is what
if
you're saying.
If there was a playoff game, yes.
Right. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. That if he had to play tonight, it would not be because he's ready to play. It would be because he is just forcing himself to play. I don't like the fact that the beginning of the season, for him to take the court, they have to skip steps.
All you're doing is this I'm so concerned thing. There's no actionable result to what you are saying.
You're right.
We all know Joel Embiid has a bad knee and
Correct.
Has. We all know he broke his foot twice. We all know all of these things.
Yeah.
And we all know you had to give him the contract.
But okay.
So you did.
So but nobody tells me it's a good idea to give him the contract. It's just that you had to give him the contract, right? Like I understand
Again,
what you're saying.
You are playing semantic games. If you were the general manager, you would give him the contract.
Because I'd feel pressured to do it. You're right. But do you think it was a smart team building decision? The thing you use for Saquon, right? Where it's like, if the Cowboys gave Saquon that deal, we would all look and go, oh, you don't pay running backs that. You think if the Knicks or some other team gave Joel Embiid a contract extension 3 years out, we would sit here and go, oh, that's a smart move.
No, but it doesn't.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
There's no smart or not smart. There is that you give your best player, who is a franchise player, who is one of the top five players in the league, you give him the extension.
But whether they had to do it or not, that's not what we're debating. I agree you had to do it.
Well, but then there's not a conversation.
Right, but I feel like you're doing this thing where it's like, well, the messaging's the bad thing. Well, they had to give him the contract. I agree with you on that. But what we're masking over is that this guy is clearly breaking down and is much closer to completely broken down than we want to admit.
That's the part where you have literally no information.
I agree. I'm tea leaf reading.
Okay.
Yeah.
What tea leaf tells you he's at the end of his career?
That, A, he can't play in the home opener.
Oh, my God. The home opener is one regular season
he's
game.
He's had 5 months to get ready for this game.
Okay.
He's had five months to get ready for this game.
Time out. I just want to bring in others.
Okay.
Bring us in. You two, go to your corner.
So now I know how it felt to listen to the Dable and Sirianni thing.
That's why we're co-hosts here, and he's been in this position where he has to break us up. This is what you do with people every once in a while. I just want to bring everybody else in, that's all.
I'm sorry.
He's not changing.
You're right.
Yes,
you're right.
Neither one
you're
of you
right.
are changing.
Thank you.
This is why I love doing clap your hands.
Yeah. If you promote that stupid podcast one more time.
Available on all podcast platforms. Yeah. Odyssey Podcast.
I didn't know you were still over there.
Well, this is good.
Yeah.
Uncovering the Birds, also an Odyssey podcast.
All right.
Do
we want to talk about the Eagles here?
No, forget about the Eagles. We're rolling here. Just
they won some
rolling.
Dumb game on Sunday.
Sirianni proved everybody wrong.
He's the best, dude.
Well, are the callers, are they actually in the priority that you think it is, or who should I take that you think is
the
most appropriate?
I think they're in the priority.
Okay, all right. We'd skip over Sixers season. Gary and Violent.
Right, they're just
WIP.
Sitting. He's healthy. It's fine.
What's up, Gary?
Tea leafing. That is such a fall linen pants kind of take.
True. Hey, it would be a good day for the suit today. It's like 85.
It would be.
Yeah.
It would be.
Yeah,
except that it's after Labor Day.
Yeah, well, that won't change.
Yeah.
Will Joel be speaking tonight?
Will Joel be speaking? I have no idea. Probably not.
Do you think, because will he bring his kids up, you know, just take the heat off?
Yeah.
There we go, yes.
Very funny.
Yeah.
I was totally for him playing in the Olympics, and I have the same take as you do, Spike. Like, he's going to get hurt walking to get his mail in the morning. Like, just let them play.
So can I ask you something, Gary, quickly? Because I was thank you. I appreciate that. I was also on team he should play in the Olympics. I thought it was smart. I thought he probably learned stuff from it. Although at 30 years old, like we're talking about him like he's a second-year player learning how to win. But regardless, does this change your opinion? Like, I think we should be allowed to change our opinion based off what's happening.
Well, based on what information leads you to believe that playing in the Olympics delayed his return to the Sixers?
Do you think it helped or hurt?
No, but well, see, here's the thing. You can guess, or you can say to yourself, hey, here's what happened. Do you know anything about whether he was hurt or whether he was set back playing in the Olympics or not?
So this is why I asked Gary what he thought.
So my hope was that he would play through the summer and his body would maybe get stronger, and that was an epic fail. But no, he just needs to play, and I just accepted Joel when he's on the court. He's awesome, and the rest is what happens. Hopefully he'll be there in June.
Yeah,
that's where I mean. Overall,
we can agree on that. Yeah. Like, you just have to hope that when the playoffs come, his body cooperates.
And my thing is, and appreciate it, Gary.
Thank you for the
My thing is, I agree with the formula the Sixers are trying to use to try to get Embiid to the postseason healthy. I completely agree with that. But I also understand where some people may be thinking, well, if you're telling me he's not injured, then they certainly are proceeding as if they're trying to slow walk this thing versus – like, in other words, like scrimmaging. Like, he's not on the court. He's not doing – I don't understand that part of it. Like, if he's completely healthy, why wouldn't he be able to do some basketball things already?
Because I think what they want to do is strengthen him in a way that they have not done it before, and they are not taking timing for an answer.
Okay.
Like,
it's a new process for everybody
End of the day – If you were to ask me, do you think he will be healthy in the playoffs or not? You made me bet.
Mm-hmm.
I would bet no.
Yeah.
But I would still.
Can you say you would bet no?
Sure. But if it's but nothing about winning a championship as an NBA team is a better yes than no proposition. You know, the Boston Celtics are by far the favorites to win the title this year. They're not even close to a 50-50 chance to win the title this year. So really, what I keep coming back to with this is there is not a better option. This is the best option.
But it sounds like we maybe agree then, because I do think this.
Of course, we agree. Y'all just arguing over because you got to have it your way.
No,
it's got to be seen that way.
I think Spike is diminishing. It's like saying, you know, I have a car that doesn't run that well, so I don't always drive it. And so that's the best way to use a car. Doesn't change the fact that the car is breaking down and like close to broken.
Yeah, but
and
you're doing this whole, I'm just noticing this.
That was all right. That was a
Thank
good
you.
Analogy there.
Yeah, but if it's
took
your
me 16 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah,
but if
good.
It's your only way to get to work, it is what it is.
I agree, but
take
it's not
public transportation, Elliot.
I do take the sub now, actually.
No, wow, you're a subwaysman?
Yeah. Well, I'm signing up for boxing classes.
Wow.
So.
Boxing classes.
What's that gonna do?
Get ready. Keep making fun of the linen suit.
Boy, that was so terrifying.
We'll find out. Yeah.
Get ready.
Yeah, I hope no one in the class recognizes me.
What do you call the one that runs on Market Street?
Can we hold on?
The L?
Okay. All right.
Come on, bro.
You're a suburbs guy.
Everyone shut up. Shut up for a second. Can we get Tucker Bagley to the Elliot boxing sessions?
No. Please no.
Oh, yeah.
But to your thing, to the last point about the car.
Yeah.
Okay. You are right. It might be it is what it is. But that doesn't mean I have to sit here and go like, oh, it's all good. Like, they're resting them. And
well, no one thinks it's all good.
It just sounds like you think it's
all
good.
No. I think this is the best option to do it. And we've done it every other way, and it hasn't worked. I am not arguing it.
He was just telling you that he's not injured.
Yeah, I don't think he's re-injured it. I don't.
Right.
I think he is still battling back from the surgery. And by the way, he did re-injure it before the playoffs last year, which is why he looked fine when he came back. And then he twisted it, I think, against Orlando. And he was clearly hurt during the playoffs. I don't think it is a likely scenario. Like, if I'm just basing it on percentages, I think there is a better percentage that it doesn't work out than it does work out. All of that said, I think this is the best way to do it. That's all. And I is it good news that you have a 7 foot, 270 pound guy with a knee problem? No.
Yeah.
But still, if you have that guy, you ride that guy until you can't anymore. And that is the position that they're in.
Yeah. I mean, look. Yeah. It just feels.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
it just feels close.
I'm gonna ride the Embiider.
Yeah.
Well, you have been since 2 o'clock. But like, it feels closer to the end for me than maybe it does for you.
I think that's where you kind of.
You know what I mean?
You put a damper on it. First of all, and you came in and said he was cooked.
I think he's closer to cooked than we want to admit. I don't know what to tell you. Like we saw. Like,
well, he's cooked coming off of the.
Well, I didn't say he is cooked. I said he was close.
Okay,
to cooked.
Okay, so what's the number? How cooked? How close?
So if one is Andrew Bynum of cooked.
Like, no,
and
I'm
10
saying
is he's normal
how many
Joel?
Years? How many years do
I
we
think
have?
In a year and a half, 2 years, it'll probably be one of the worst contracts in the NBA.
Oh, no chance.
Okay.
Yeah, I disagree.
Well, I hope in 2 years we can debate it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be here.
Yeah. Well, you promised 10, I guess, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, all right.
Well, nine left. 10. Nine left.
Hold on, where was I on that, too?
What's that?
Well, how many years did I promise?
I don't know. Promise?
Well, you're here for the rest of your life. Man.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You'll be running the station in 10
I wasn't
years.
Consulted on the 10-year contract.
Running the station?
Yeah.
The guy could barely send emails.
Hold on. Every day around 9:30-ish.
Yeah, and with all lowercase. You write it like a fourth grader.
Well, I put my own personal touch on it.
And leave it despite to be critiquing your emails.
No, I know. I know.
Well, it's
the program.
You know, you get me. You back me into a corner.
Yeah,
Andy.
You're doing
great
today, honey.
Andy in Westchester. You're on WIP. What's up, Andy?
Can we just keep changing our focus to Jack? Because I'm afraid right now.
Yeah, it's all right. I don't know enough about you, so well, you're safe.
I was going to argue with you, but man, whatever you think, it's cool. Yeah.
You're No, Jack. Look, Jack writes bad emails, but he has a lot of good skills too.
He's not writing. Well,
we're waiting for them.
I'm listening to the Jeff call. I'm like, oh crap! I got to get on after this. Well, Elliot's coming. Oh, now it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Well, that's what a lot of people say. Yeah.
What do you think, Andy?
So anyway, yeah, I do. I want to get to something else about Insider of the Year since Elliot's there. But anyway, what I think what a lot of people, at least me. Are wondering, and I know you're saying you don't know that he's injured. I don't know that he's not, but if he wasn't fully recovered from his first injury, why was he playing in the playoffs? Olympics is my concern.
Because he decided, and they decided, there were more positives than negatives. And I guess what I would say I understand the concern about the Olympics. I went back and forth on it too. He came to camp much lighter than he has ever come to camp before. So, you know, I think one of the things the organization thought was, well, the other way hasn't worked, and he has come in heavy every year, and maybe him playing basketball, which is, by the way, how he gets into shape in general anyway, he's one of those guys, that they thought that the positives outweighed the negatives. And I still believe the positives. And you can do the, it's a lot like the fourth down call thing. You can do the, after you see whether it worked or not, decide whether it was the right decision, but they don't have the luxury of waiting to see what was going to happen. I thought that experience was positive for him. And I thought, and this is the first year that we've heard him coming into a year say, here's what's important. Here's the weight I've lost. I need to lose more. He would dodge those questions before. And he's not dodging them now. But I don't know if it's going to work. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But I think his head is in a better place than it was. And I do credit some of that to playing in the Olympics.
Makes perfect sense. You're right.
There we go.
2-5. I don't want to scare people. Thank you.
So back to the car.
Mine's harmless, man.
Yeah, I am mostly harmless.
Here's what I'd say about the Olympics thing. Is it's not like he got re-hurt at the Olympics. It's not like he played and ended up leaving halfway through. Mm-hmm. So
like Kawhi.
Right. So
he didn't even
make
it.
I agree it is definitely Monday morning quarterbacking to sit here now and go, oh, he shouldn't have played. I do agree with that. But we can also, like the fourth down decisions, look and go, well, it didn't work. Well, I don't know if I would still paint the Olympics as a positive.
I don't know that that's true. I don't know that it didn't work. And I think one thing that it could have done is he probably needed to take time off after the Olympics to let everything settle down before he ramped up again. And that's probably why they're in the situation now. If you would ask me, would you trade a week of the regular season for the Olympics? I would say yes. I would. If he didn't get injured there and all it did was delay him starting the season, then I'm fine with that.
So one last question for you, if you don't. I know that all the games count the same, 382. But you truly don't think there's more emphasis on the opener?
No. And I think that's every mistake they've made leading up to it.
Fair enough.
I can understand the feel for it, but in 2 weeks, we're not going to care.
Well,
he'll either be playing well or he won't be playing.
You're true.
You know?
You're right.
All right. Coming up next, maybe we'll talk about the Eagles. I don't know. But I think we're going to talk about the Eagles.
Yeah.
Also, Mets fans want to throw a parade for the Mets.
Elliot agrees.
Yeah. Well,
I wanted a parade for Joel's MVP trophy. Oh. No one cared about you.
You did.
And honestly, I even want it more now that I know he's...
All right. Enough out of you. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fred.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
We bring the boom to you. Grab your phone, Elliot. So download this one on Spotify.
Put this to get me ready for boxing class.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show.
I like you guys got the dance down. Yes. Here we go. Yeah.
There you go. And then you get this one. About a quarter past three. There we go.
Told you guys it's a banger.
It is a banger.
Pretend all you want it's not, but song of the summer.
The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. Actually, Jack just put up a new one. I have to find my phone so I can see the results. Twitter question sponsored by Mark's Jewelers, the official jeweler of you. If you're looking to get engaged, shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. The Twitter question, you're going to love this one, Elliot, is, hold on.
Is this about me?
Yeah.
No, I'm sure the results are.
Yeah. Elliot Shore Parks has signed up for boxing classes. Do you think you could beat him in a fight?
Is there votes in at this
yes,
point?
There
right. Yeah, I'm sure there are.
I don't know, 99% yes?
95%.
There we go.
So there are 5% of the people that think
well,
you can.
Well, to be clear, I agree, but that's why I'm taking the classes.
Right.
Right. So we'll it's see at the end of the classes how I'm feeling.
So you've been a big Nick guy, maybe the biggest Nick Sirianni guy.
Yeah.
It was a huge win on Sunday, and I don't think anyone saw a blowout coming aside from Tommy from down the shore.
Yeah, I did guarantee a win.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Brandon Graham spoke about this. This is from this morning with the WIP Morning Show, spoke about the team rallying around Nick. Do you think this is something they can carry with them? I guess my biggest point, I agree with him, and I think they did. I thought they responded really well. I think the question is you have the juice off of last week, and they're not getting that juice this week. Do you think that's something they can carry forward?
I do. I don't know if the us against them thing is a positive, like, good thing to carry all season. I think eventually they need to find other ways to motivate themselves. But I do think one thing with this team that we probably have not given them enough credit for, and I think Nick deserves a lot of credit for this, as do other leaders on the team, but they are a far more resilient group than I think we viewed them as, right? So to be 4-2 after these first six games, I think is a good outcome. Like, this team is not 3-3. They're not 2-4. They missed the best player on the team for half of these games. They missed arguably the three best players on the team for one of the games. They had to travel like 5,000 miles to Brazil. The Saints don't look good now, but that was a tough game at the time. It definitely was. And last year, when this team got punched in the mouth by, not Buffalo, by San Francisco and Dallas, they had no counterpunch. They just folded, right? and they didn't suffer that type of punch. But the Tampa Bay one, I mean, it was an embarrassing moment for this team.
Oh, yeah.
And so to come out and not dominate the Browns by any stretch, but to come out and win the next two, I do think there's a resiliency there that I think Nick deserves some credit for. If we're going to say he's the culture builder.
And he is.
The culture seems really good down there. Right now, at least. I mean, obviously, things can change.
And winning helps those things, but I've been saying this. There is something to finding a common sort of factor that you want to use as a motivating thing and saying, okay, this is what they feel, then let's go prove them wrong. I agree. Not something you want to carry around all year long because it's just that you...
It's not healthy.
Yeah, it's not healthy. And quite frankly, be mad at yourselves for not playing well. Don't be mad at people for not making excuses for you not playing well. Be mad at yourselves. If you want to change the narrative, then change the results on the field and do that by doing it on the field, not by bickering with media and back and forth on Twitter and all that stuff. And that's where he, for me, had crossed the line, and I'm glad he pulled it back because he was not being a good example setter for them. And the fact that he addressed it with the team and apologized, and I'm sure the higher-ups addressed it with him, and they needed to let him know, no, this is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. You doing this stuff will lead to our players behaving this way in some form or fashion, and how are you going to tell them not to do it when you're doing it? So... To pull it back and at least get back to focusing on football and trying to change the results on the field. Listen, you can ride this little us against them wave for a few weeks or what have you. But you know what happens? Good habits start to set in. Good practice habits start to set in. Good studying habits start to set in. And you start to translate that from in the classroom, on the practice field, to on game day, and you're getting results. And now you're not focusing on that. We're not focusing on that. We're not asking every player, do you like your coach? We're not doing all that stuff. That stuff that they got irritated by earlier. Once they change those things, then we'll change, and then they can get back to playing football. And so to me, after that Tampa game, I mean, after the Tampa week, and then after the Cleveland game was a pivotal part for Nick Sirianni and this team, and he seemed to regroup, pull everything together, and he's galvanized the locker room for right now, including, and most importantly, the quarterback.
Yeah. Well, and so I also think that I agree with all that from a culture perspective. But I think, too, we should give the coaching staff some credit. And it starts with Jalen. Jalen's been smarter with the football the last 2 weeks. He looks like training camp Jalen, being smart with the football. Mm-hmm. But we should also point out that in Nick's time as head coach, when they've had problems, for the most part, he's fixed them. Like, when the first year he was here, they couldn't run that pick play without getting flagged. Remember, they had, like, four touchdowns. Now they run it really well. The second year, there was penalties early on. Remember? Like, the turnover thing, Jalen deserves the top billing for it. But the coaching staff also deserves credit from taking a quarterback that was leading the league in turnover-worthy plays to not having a single one the last 2 weeks. Like, there is coaching involved in that. There's scheme involved in that. There's play calls involved in that. And I think they deserve credit for what looks like fixing a problem that we all agree was a big one.
Hold on. Let me just go cut straight to the chase on that. You know what's involved in that? Accountability. Forget about that coaching and scheme. And Jalen's not stupid. He's gone through a season where he did not turn the ball over, where he wasn't careless with the ball. He was doing reckless things with the football. And when you're a coach, you're either coaching it or you're allowing it. So if you don't address him about that stuff, you make excuses for it, then it's never going to change. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give them credit, whoever it was, whether it was Nick, whether it was Doug Neusmeyer, whether it was Kellen Moore, I don't care who it was. They got to him and said, bruh, this ain't going to work. Mm-hmm. You being reckless with the football is not going to work if we want to win football games. This has to stop. Be smarter, take care of the ball, and we'll win games. And the two hands on the ball, all that stuff, Jalen has been through all this stuff. It's when you get careless with the ball, and you get careless with the football when you feel there are no repercussions for your actions. We saw this with Carson. Like, that's what happens when they give you the big check, they give you the money, and everybody's kissing your butt mm-hmm. and telling you you're the man and don't tell you when you're wrong. It, all you do is enable players to continue to practice bad habits and do things the wrong way. But when you challenge him and you correct him and he has to be held accountable by his teammates, his peers, and his coaches, it's going to be important enough for him to change those things. So that's why I give him credit for, is that it was important enough for him that he needed to change that. He needed to change that.
I agree. And the other thing that they've done is say, look, maybe you shouldn't be throwing the ball 30 times
that's
a game.
That's the other part. You know, that's where the coaching comes in for me.
Yeah, and now look, them, and we'll talk about this in a second, how long they can keep that up.
Right.
You know, 13 attempts a game or 14 is not... That's not realistic.
Especially not this week.
Yeah, so we'll actually talk about the offense right after Ike tells you about where to get a car.
Let me get you an Acura.
Speaking of cars.
What type of car were you talking about when you were trying to compare Joel Embiid?
Yeah. talking about Acura.
MDX,
yeah.
Okay, there we go. All right, did you know there's never been a better time to save on a brand new Acura than right this second at Elite Acura during the Elite Fall for All event. Now, they're rolling into fall with these unbelievable savings on their selection of over 175 new Acuras. You can lease a new 2024 Acura ZDX with the A-Spec package for just $319 a month. But that's not all. They're taking it to the next level with a $4,000 Acura loyalty appreciation offer on top. You also can lease a new 2024 Acura RDX with super handling all-wheel drive for $429 a month. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss these offers and more during the Elite Fall for All event going on right now at Elite Acura. Make sure you head over to Route 73 North in Maple Shade. Tell them Mike sent you, or shop their entire inventory online anytime at EliteAcura.com. Call them 567-908-0528 for offer details.
I'm going to this call here because we only have Elliot until 4, and Rick in Easton says he wants to make a bet with
Elliot.
I
wonder what this is about.
So I need to know what this bet is.
I can't believe I actually got on and my name's not Chuck from Mount Airy. Okay.
All right.
Kiss my ass.
Speaking of boxing,
We talked before.
Yeah, I remember it, Rick.
I will make a wager right now, my friend, and I will take you and your wife's significant other out to dinner for 12 months if the Eagles go to Cincinnati and beat Cincinnati. You on?
I don't think they're going to win the game. So we can still get dinner if you want, but
and they can't win the game.
No, I think it's an acceptable loss. Like, I think it's okay to go there and lose. As long as they compete, I think that's a good week for them.
Acceptable loss?
Yeah. Yeah.
Rick, doesn't look like you're going to get your bet. Also, he would have to go to dinner with you for a year?
Every month.
Yeah.
For 12 months of dinner. That's
There's Rick again.
Maybe it's, yeah.
Hey, honey, we got to go to dinner with Rick.
Dinner with you, Rick. No offense. I got a good feeling about this game this week.
Really?
Wow, picking against your team.
Well, my team is here. I got you, my AFC team.
Yeah. Your AFC team. Yeah.
What'd you say, Rick?
Ike and I have talked before because Ike sat in our club section seat for a quarter, and I'm the wrestling official that has a lot of admiration for Ohio wrestling and Ohio sports. But all kidding aside, I do think the Eagles can win with their schedule 10 or 11 games. I think they split with Washington. I think they beat the Giants again. They split with the Cowboys. And they have a schedule where they can win 10 or 11 games. They're just not beating Cincinnati Sunday.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, it's a tough spot.
It's certainly a...
Is it really?
Well, the Bengals are at home and have put themselves
and
in
they really
a,
need the game.
Yeah. The Eagles don't need it.
Like, they don't need it.
What do you mean the Eagles don't need it? Eagles do need it.
I don't think so.
Well, I do. I do think they need it. Doesn't mean they're going to win just because they need it. And I'm not saying the game's going to be easy. But I'm also not looking at this game, and we'll get into it as we go through the week. This isn't a no-doubt loss for the Eagles. The Bengals... the offense has flashy names. They have flashy names. But the two teams we just played, they also held the Bengals to two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams, the Giants and the Browns.
Bengals defense isn't good either.
And the Bengals defense isn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm saying is that we can go on the road, take care of the football, and if the defense just keeps getting a little better each week, I don't expect us to hold the Bengals without a touchdown, but – and we can keep this game in the low 20s, I think the Eagles got a chance to score 24 in Cincinnati, 24-27
points. That's what I was going to say. If you can hold them, the goal is to hold them to less than 24.
Yeah.
I think that
would be less than 24, I think we got a good chance.
I think they could win the game, to be clear. Yeah. I'm probably not going to pick them. I just don't think this is
a
game.
You're not expecting to
win. If they lose, I'm not going to go, oh, my God, these last 2 weeks mean nothing. They're back to they used to be. Like, you can go to Cincinnati.
Unless they get clobbered.
And if they get clobbered, that wouldn't be good. I agree. Yeah. But if they go there and they're competitive and they lose, like, I don't know, 30-27, Jalen takes care of the ball. Like, it's not the end of the world. They have the Jaguars next week. They have an easy schedule.
I got a little Washington. We play November 14th. We know that's going to be a big game.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Big NFC East showdown. And we can get through that Thursday night game at 7-3.
It puts them in a good spot. Especially with all the home games.
So we can go 3-1 over these next four games. Dallas is on the brink. Mike called this early. I thought he was crazy. He called it early. He didn't say they weren't going to make the playoffs or they weren't going to win the Super Bowl. He said implosion. He said bad season. That's where they're headed. They are headed there. Their next few weeks are going to be tough. By the time we go to Dallas to play, they may have already thrown the towel in on their season.
Yeah, going to Dallas is still tough for me.
All I'm saying is that it won't be as difficult if they don't have anything to play for and they're pointing fingers at each other.
It's possible if they keep going the way that it looks like they're going, it seems like they could be.
I do think, too, that this past week was the first time I felt there was special potential. You're right. Like, they probably won't win 12 games, but 3 weeks ago, I mean, I thought they were average, like best case average.
Special.
Not just.
I ain't going special
yet.
Well,
I just think the
easy killer.
Hold on. The vibes are changing around the team.
I agree.
Like, they won by 25. You see, you know, pictures of Jalen smiled everyone in the locker room. Everyone's rallying around Nick. Nick's talking in the locker room about getting his mojo back. We do the players' lounge with players. They seem to really be in on what. Now, you have to go out and prove it.
They have to win.
But it's been a long, I mean, they haven't even won back-to-back games in a year. So, like, they are actually finally, it feels like, starting to get out of this rut they're in.
So, I want to get to the offense thing because we only have 5 minutes left with you. So, Nick Sirianni was on with the WIP Morning Show today, and John Ritchie had this conversation with him. So, I
little
think,
too much emotion out of Nick. He should probably pull that in.
Wow.
He's doing good over the last week, man. He's been keeping his emotions in check.
Well, by the way, I thought that whole thing happening to Nick was good for Nick, too.
I agree.
It set a here's the line, man.
Yep.
You know, we want you to be excited. And he said it's a learning process for him. And the one thing I will give him credit for is he does seem possibly capable of introspection, which the New York coach who we were fighting about yesterday does not seem capable of, which is a good human quality to have.
You want
a good
my table coach take? Or no, I'm kidding.
Neither one of us. No.
So I keep thinking about this with the Eagles in that we played a running team. In the Saints, and the Saints were running all over everybody, scoring a bunch of points. And we said, all right, well, we're going to put six guys on the line of scrimmage, and we're not going to let you run, and we're going to dare your quarterback to beat us. And he couldn't. Mm-hmm. And so saying you're a running team is cool, and it's a way to structure, you know, way to think about it and have an identity, which I think is important. Mm-hmm. But the big question is going to be, not that you've said it and you've done it, when other teams can just decide that Saquon's not going to run, it's what Cleveland did to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. Jalen's going to have to take a step into making plays. And I don't want to talk about the Super Bowl yet, but you're not getting through the playoffs with you're just running the ball the 50 times a game.
I mean, they found that out in 2021.
Yeah, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to do. So we're gonna have to see. And he's gonna. And we said yesterday, look, this is a good reset point for Jalen, but this can't be the be all end all of what they expect to do
so
with Jalen.
I think if Jalen plays the exact same game he has the last 2 weeks, they will be a playoff team and probably have a home playoff game. But they will not go to the Super Bowl with the way Jalen is playing currently. But the thing I would say is, I would encourage Jalen, if I was a coaching staff, to keep playing this way for now. I don't think you want to sit in these meetings and go, you know what? We can't win in January like this, so we got to switch it up. Mm-hmm. I do think Jalen has developed some good habits the last few weeks, taking care of the ball. And I'll ride with that for a month and have him be that guy. And then come December, you just got to hope when you're playing these great teams, he makes big plays. Like, that's really it. I don't think they can change the philosophy of the team because that's how you win in the playoffs.
Well, but I don't even think that's the thing. I think the other teams are going to make that decision for you.
Sure.
The other teams are going to come in with a game plan.
Eventually, and I agree. I actually agree with both of you. I would stick with it until the team forces me to change it up. And when they do, and they will, Jalen has to make throws.
Yeah.
He still has to be smart with the football, and he has to take advantage of it. So if Cleveland's going to do what they did, I'm okay with Jalen throwing for two touchdowns and 264 yards and no interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what he did against Cleveland when they took away Saquon. So he was able to throw the ball on the outside and make some plays. That's what he has to do. He has to be patient. More importantly, the coaches have to be patient because part of this is them. You know, Kellen Moore and some of these guys, they get bored with just running the ball. They want to throw it. They got all these weapons, so they want to throw it. So sometimes you got to be patient and not force things. It'll come. The passing game will open up for them. But I think if you come out like they did Sunday, I'll give them credit for changing midstream. They came out wanting to throw the ball. We got sacked like four times within the first three series.
Yeah, Fred Johnson's a problem.
Yeah, and so then they decided, let's go to the run game and stick with the run game. It's okay to run the football. That's why you gave this dude $30 million.
Well, and Fred Johnson
let him run the ball.
Yeah. Fred Johnson got beat. It was on Jalen a little bit, too, holding the ball the way he did.
I think the
real thing is going to be him finding the balance between protecting but also being aggressive.
Yep.
Because I think he's less aggressive now because he's concentrating on not turning the ball over. Quarterbacks are going to throw interceptions.
Yep.
It's okay to throw one, but the decisions he was making previously were dangerous, bad decisions.
I agree with you. One interesting stat, though. Over the last 2 weeks, there's only three quarterbacks in the NFL that have no turnover-worthy plays and two-plus big-time throws, which is how Pro Football grades like a special throw, and he's one of them. So I do think while he has to do more of it, he has done a decent job. I mean, he's had big throws and big, you know, to AJ and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's being ultra conservative, but I ultimately agree with you. You're not going to outduel the Lions in Detroit like this.
No.
Like, you're not going to win the
Minnesota,
game.
You're not beating teams like that. Green Bay, you beat them early, and look what you had to do against them.
Right.
Win that game against Green Bay.
Green Bay's starting to look a little terrifying.
They're much better now than they were.
The only way you win as a running team is if you have an outstanding defense and a quarterback that won't turn it over. And I don't think they have either of those two things.
No, they don't have. Their defense certainly looks better than we thought they were going to look.
Yeah.
But not that level of defense. All right. Thank you, Elliot.
Fun times.
Great appearance as always. Are you willing to fight listeners in your boxing class?
I might have to get Chuck from Mount Airy to coach me too.
Oh,
I feel like he would, you know,
coach you.
Yes. Yeah, no, not fight
me. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He'd be a good guy in your corner.
He would,
but
he'd
also be
in my corner. I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I've seen him. Yeah,
I could imagine Chuck going, "Throw in the damn towel."
Yeah, I can also imagine.
I don't think Chuck
would love my boxing style either. I don't think he would leave impressed from me in the ring. Yeah.
All right, so Jordan Mailata will join us next, and we could find out how Jordan is doing, how that hamstring's doing. Also, if he noticed anything watching the game on TV rather than actually being in the game, I think it would probably give you a little bit of a different perspective. So we'll get Jordan's take on the offense and see how he's doing physically next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.